Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yom HaDaf Nun Beis. We are holding on daf Nun Aleph and Beis, two lines from the end of the page. The Ibayis Ema. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also in commemoration of the yard site of Aaron ben Shlomo David Raymond Snitow, whose yard site is on Thursday, the 23rd of Sivan, and sponsored by the Snitow, Walfish, and Feinberg families. And it's also sponsored by Rabbi Tzvi Sablovsky's shul congregation, Or HaTorah, in honor of the launch of their 48-hour building fund campaign on June 6th and 7th. If you'd like to support Rabbi Sablovsky's incredible Arbatz HaTorah, or have benefited over the years from Rabbi Sablovsky's Arbatz HaTorah, please visit charity.com/Arbatz. It's a great opportunity to show Hakara Satov from Sabalovsky Shlita. The site is now live. So we are holding, again, two lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and we were in the middle of discussing the path that the Kohen Gadol took through the Heichal in order to get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So while we're going to continue that discussion a little bit, and we're going to explain the suffix whether the Amatraxin was Kilifrim or Kolichutz. What exactly is the Gemara unsure about when we say it's Kilif, when we say that we're Mesupak, whether it's kilifnim or kilichutz? Is there something physical that we're unsure about? Or is there a halachic status that we're unsure about, but the physical makeup and the physical layout is clear to us? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to identify certain psukim in the Torah where we're not entirely sure of the punctuation of the pasuk, that there is a particular word in the pasuk that could go either on the first half or on the second half, and we're not entirely sure how it goes. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to then continue the path of the Kohen Gadol into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and describe what he did there with the Ketores. And the Gemara is going to right away question which Beis HaMikdash is the Mishnah describing, because the Mishnah on the one hand describes that he's walking through curtains, that was only in the second Beis HaMikdash, but on the other hand it describes placing the Ketores down right by the Aron, Bein Habadim. There was only an Aron in the first Beis HaMikdash. So which Beis HaMikdash is it actually describing? And we're going to talk about why it is that there was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash, and then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas which direction, at the very end of the daf, we probably won't get to it today, which direction the Ketores were placed when the Kohen Gadol was being maktir the Ketores. So we left off right in the middle of an inyan. We're at Ve'i Bayisema, two lines from the bottom of the page. So we're trying to describe the entrance of the Kohen Gadol through the Heichal, and we said there are four possible paths he could take. He could walk all along the northern wall, in between the northern wall and the Shulchan, or it could be that no, he's between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, or between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, or between the Menorah and the southern wall. And we said yesterday there's a machlokas where the opening was to get from the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Was it all the way on the northern side, on the right side, or is it all the way on the southern side, on the left side, as he's walking westward toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Gemara says it could be, so we were discussing why it is, if you hold that the opening was on the north side, so why not just walk straight along the northern side of the Heichal? Why would you have him go in between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach? Adrabah, let him go all the way along the northern wall, between the Shulchan and the northern wall. Why would it be between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach? Why is he removed from that wall? So we gave one possible answer. Yes, it was that there were a whole bunch of other Shulchanos that had to fit there, and it was blocking the way, so there wasn't space for him to go. The E by Yisema, another possibility is Li'olam Mizrach U'Marav Munachim, that all of these Shulchanos that Shlomo HaMelech added really ran east to west, and therefore didn't really block his path. But umishum shchina lavarachera. But it's not derachera. It's to the shchina for a person lemeil lahedya, for a person to walk directly straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know, with a direct path going straight to the opening of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So if he would have gone straight along the northern wall, then he would have been walking straight to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that doesn't express the proper amount of ema, the proper amount of yerushamayim that a person is supposed to have, and therefore he would go while he was walking. All he saw in front of him was curtain. He only saw parochas. He didn't see an opening, because if you'd see an opening, then you'd be able to see right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it sounds like the parochas was constantly open, and that's what Rashi is going to write in Amud Beis as well, that it's not that he moved the parochas out of the way when he got there, that there was an opening in the parochas to allow him to enter. Tosfos Rid says that the Derech Eretz is that it's not Derech Eretz to go Kenegad HaPesach, because he might look between the parochas and the wall. And Rabbeinu Chananel explains, No, the Derech Eretz is that he shouldn't walk right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He should first he should go in a somewhat of an indirect fashion to let it be known that he's that it's as if he's seeking permission to enter, that he's not taking it as a given that he could just walk right in. It's almost like knocking on a door, except there's no door to knock on because it's just curtains. So he takes this indirect route as a way of showing that he's not so comfortable just walking right in, and that he wants to make sure that he's welcome before choosing to go inside. Rabbi Yossi. And what about Rabbi Yossi, who says that Itaka does go along that wall? Well, how's he going to respond to that? That Klal Yisrael is so beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we don't require a shliach to daven for us. We could just daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And therefore, the Kohen Gadol, who is our shliach, could do the avodah in the most direct way, because he's so chaviv v'nei Hashem. He can act like it's his house. He can act like he's very comfortable there and walk right in, because he's representing Klal Yisrael. Now, the idea that we're not going to require a shliach, Rashi points out, it was part of the bakasha of Shlomo HaMelech when he concluded the building of the Beis HaMikdash and Sefer Melachim Aleph, right? He said that kol tefila, kol tchina, asher tiyya, l'chol ha'adam, l'chol amcha Yisrael, asher yedunish nega levavo, upiris kapo v'labayis hazeh, that everyone should always have the opportunity to come, l'abayis hazeh, to come to this bayis, and be able to pour his heart out. So even though the Kohen Gadol was actually the shliach of Klal Yisrael, but everybody has that ability to give that direct tefila, just like a Kohen Gadol can give a direct tefila. The Divrei Shal, Rav Yossi Shal Nathanson, says that it's dafka b'zman beis hamikdash that we could say such a thing, that that our tefillah was very pure, and Klal Yisrael knew nigei levavam. We knew what the problems were in our hearts, and therefore we were able to go and pour out our hearts in tefillah. But now we have timtum alev. We don't have that same capacity, so now we do require a tefillah satzadik, and that's why we go to tzaddikim and ask them to be mispalel on our behalf. So that's so we're comparing. We're saying that since even the Jewish people themselves have this ability to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam directly, so for sure the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, who represents us, has the ability to do so. Rabbeinu Chananel over here writes that throughout the year, the Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Kodesh, has to be wearing the Me'il, which has the bells along the hem of the Me'il, and that way it would make a noise. It would be Mashmiya Kol, like a Shliach that's saying to the Melech that so and so wants to enter. So it's as if he's announcing his arrival. It's as if he's announcing his arrival. I'm just trying to meet the guy. Okay, it's as if he's announcing his arrival. But on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim without any Me'il, because the Chavivos that he has by Kodesh Baruch Hu on that day means that he could be so comfortable he doesn't have to announce his arrival. And that's why, that's what the Gemara is explaining, that according to Rabbi Yossi, he can walk straight. It fits nicely with the idea that there are no bells around his clothing. However, if you recall, we had a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos back on Daf Memdalid about the shovel itself that he was carrying. There was something on that shovel that was unusual, and Rashi said that something on the shovel that was unusual was a ring at the end of the shovel that would make noise as he was going. Because even on Yom Kippur, you can't walk in without having some noise in advance to show some Derech Eretz, ki'ilu you're knocking on the door. So this sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel doesn't fit with Rashi. Tosfos understood that something at the end of the shovel was like a leather handle, because the shovel is made out of gold, and gold conducts heat. So he's going to be holding a shovel full of hot coals. It's going to burn his hands off. So there was nothing to make noise. It was just a leather handle to make it easier to hold. Rabbeinu Chananel fits much better with Tosfos. The Ritva and other Rishonim raised the question, according to Rashi, that this whole idea is that just like Shlomo HaMelech davened, that this bayis should be a bayis that anyone could come and daven in. And that's how we know that we can be comfortable there. So certainly the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim could be comfortable there. If you look at that pasuk, the pasuk is not about the Jewish people; it's about everybody. The Shlomo HaMelech wanted to be. It's a base tefila l'chola amin. That the base hamikdash is a base tefila for everybody. So it doesn't really highlight the pasukim that Rashi quotes. Don't really highlight the unique level of chavivos that Klal Yisrael has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's really just about what the Beis HaMikdash is meant to function as for humanity, that that it's a place of access, it's an access point to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's what the Ritva and other Rishonim ask on Shitas Rashi, or at least the way Rashi quotes the pasuk over here. So now the Gemara asks on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the Kohen Gadol would walk along the southern wall in order to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, except not directly along the southern wall. He'd go between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, so a little bit on the southern side, but not all the way along the southern wall. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Neil Bein Menorah LeKosel. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda give that option of walking right between the Menorah and the Kosel all along the southern wall if that's where the Kodesh HaKadoshim was open? So answers Gemara Meshachrei Maneh, because he would get too close to the Menorah and his clothing would become blackened from the Menorah if he'd walk along the southern wall. And that's why we want him to go between the Menorah and the Mizbeach rather than along the wall right next to the Menorah. Why don't we just give the same answer we said before, that it's not Derech Eretz, that he's going to walk in such a way where he's going to be able to see right into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the thing is, we're assuming that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that there were two parochos. If there were two parochos, even if you were walking right where it was opened up, you didn't see inside. You just saw the other parochas, because the opening on the outer parochas was on this side, but on the inner parochas was on the other side. So you wouldn't see straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim anyhow. So that's why the Gemara can't say, because it's not Derech Eretz to look that way. You're not looking that way. You're being blocked anyhow. So that's what the Gemara says. It must be because we didn't want him to mess up the Big Day Kuhuna, the Big Day Lavan that he was wearing at that time. So now the Gemara discusses we mentioned yesterday, that there is this suffix about the Amatraxin. So I'm Rabbi Nassim. Amatraxin, this one Amma wide wall that was in the first base of Migdash, that separated between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, lo ichriu bo chachamim ikilufnim ikalachutz. There's some sort of vague suffix about it, whether it's considered as if it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or it's considered as if it's outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara is going to raise the issue of what exactly are we not sure about? Are we not sure about physically where it was located, or are we not sure about a halachic status of that one amma of wall? So Maskel Ravina, my time, why are the Chum mistapek about the amma tracks in Elam Mishum Duchsev, if it's based on that they're not sure about the pasuk, because the pasuk describes in Malachim Aleph, Va'abayis Asher Bana HaMelech Shlomo LaHashem, Shishim Amma Orko Ve'esrim Rachbo Shloshim Amma Kamaso, that the dimensions of the Kodesh and Kodesh HaKadoshim together are 60 amos in length and 20 amos in width and 30 amos in height. So that's the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim together. So Uksiv and the Pasuk also describes by Bayis Rishon, Varboim Ba'amba Haya HaBayis Hua Heichal Lefanai, that the Kodesh or the Heichal, it was 40 amos long of those 60 amos. Uksiv and the Pasuk also says, V'lefnei Advir Esrim Amma Orech V'esrim Amma Rocha V'esrim Amma Komaso, that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the wall that separated between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Amatraxin was an area that was 20 amos long by 20 amos wide by Esrim Amma Kamasa by 20 amos high. V'lo yadinan, and we don't know about Amatraxin imehani Esrim v'imehani Arbaim. Where does that one amma go? Is that the last of the 40 amos of the Heichal, or is it the first of the 20 amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Meaning we're asking a structural question. Meaning there's only 60 amos in total, so there's 40 and there's 20. But there isn't really 40 and 20. There's it's either 39, 1 and 20, or it's 40, 1 and 19. And that's really what our shayla is. How was it set up? So it says, Merv Dilma lo mehani asrim lo mehani arbayin. V'chalala kachashiv, kosalim lo kachashiv. No, maybe we have no suffix about how physically it was made up. Maybe that when we're talking about 60 amos, we're talking about 60 amos of open space, not counting thickness of walls. So maybe really it was 40. It wasn't 39, 1, and 20, nor was it 40, 1, and 19. It was 40, 1, 20. And we're only, when we say it was 60 amos total, we mean chutz from the Amatraxin, but we know exactly where the Amatraxin was. So what does it mean that Chachamim don't know what the status of the Amatraxin is? So the Gemara is going to have to give an alternate explanation of what it means that we're not sure about the Amatraxin. But Teda, I'll prove to you that the Amatraxin is not one of the 40 amos of the Kodesh, nor is it one of the 20 amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. De Kalecha, de Kachashim, Kosalim, Chashav Leilidide. Because whenever it mentions the walls, it mentions it beferish. It talks about the width of the walls. Ditznan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Midos, when it goes through the entire complex of the Beis HaMikdash, not just the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it starts from further out and goes until describing beyond the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says a Heichal, the entire Heichal is a funny word. It sometimes means just the Kodesh, and it sometimes means the entire complex, the whole Beis HaMikdash. So Yontov points that out in the Mishnayos. Over here, it very clearly means the entire thing. It's not just the Kodesh. The Heichal, the whole site of the Beis HaMikdash was Meya, Al Meya, Berum Meya, was 100 Amos by 100 Amos, meaning east to west was 100 Amos, north to south was 100 Amos, and it was a height of 100 Amos. And now we're going to go through east to west how it was 100 Amos. Kosel Ulam Chamesh. The outermost wall of the Ulam was 5 Amos. And then Ulam Achasasre. The Ulam itself was 11 Amos, going from east to west. And then Kosel Heichal, the wall between the Ulam and the Heichal was Sheish, was 6 Amos thick. That's a very thick wall. Va'arko Arbayim Amah. And then you had 40 Amos of Heichal. And then Va'amatraxin. Then you had 1 Amah of a wall between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the Aser Amah Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. Had 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. And then, Kosal HaHechal, the wall on the other side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the western side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sheish, is another 6 Amos. Vehata, and then there was a room on the other side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sheish, that was also 6 Amos. Vekosal HaTa, Chamesh, and then the wall on the other side of that Ta was another 5 Amos. So when you put it all together, it's 100 Amos from end to end, from east to west. So you see that the Tana counts the Amma of the wall between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim independently, aside from the 40 Amos of the Heichal and the 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you see, clearly it wasn't one of the Amos that we've already allotted to one or the other, to the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was independent. So Ella Kedushasei Ikilafnimi Kilachutz. What were we not machriya about when it comes to the Amatraxin? It wasn't that we weren't machriya where it is, we're just not machriya, it's halach. Status. What is the Kedusha of that area, of that one Amma that wall stood on? Did it have the Kedusha of the Heichal, or did it have the Kedusha of the Kodesh Kadashim? In the Kedusha, Rabbi Moshe Miamran, he says that the Chum weren't sure after Tkufas Bayis Rishon, but it must be that Shlomo Melech had some sort of Mesora about this. Because Shlomo Melech had to be Mekadesh it. So it must be that the one who was Mekadesh it, who designated for Kedusha, was aware of what Kedusha he was designating it for. So it's just that the Mesorah was lost as far as what Kedusha had had. But it must be that at some point they knew. It's not that we never knew. It's the Chiyuv Chachamim in later generations what its status was. So, meaning, and it's Mestaver that way, meaning, because if you're going to assume like the first possibility that we weren't, even though the Gemara rejected it, the Gemara entertained the possibility that we weren't sure where it was physically located. That for sure Shlomo Melech knew, because he built it, so it was physically in one place or the other, right? So it's obviously describing something that Shlomo HaMelech knew, and that at some point after the Churban, we must have lost. So when we describe that the Safek is not physical, the Safek is halachic Safek, what its status is, what its Kedusha status is, it's also Mistaver, that Shlomo HaMelech was well aware of it, and at some point later, it doesn't have to be after the Churban, it could be even during the Tekufa of Bayis Rishon, at some point later, we weren't sure about the Kedusha of that area. That suffix, that very same suffix, is exactly where Rabbi Yochanan said that by Yosef Ishotzel, that Yosef Ishotzel raised the following shaila. When the pasuk describes the bayis rishon, it says udvir besocha bayis mipnima heichal nesite in shomis aron bris Hashem. So Yibayilei, Yosef Ishotzel raised the question. Hechi kamarkra. How do you read this pasuk? Is it udvir betoch habayis that Shlomo HaMelech made a mechitza to be a mafsik between the heichal and the kodesh hakadoshim, and the mipnima heichal the sitein sham saron bris Hashem? Inside of that mechitza, more toward the west, he prepared an open room which is called the kodesh hakadoshim to put the aron bris Hashem in, which would mean that the mechitza itself is not the kodesh hakadoshim. If that's how you punctuate the pasuk, then the mechitza itself is not the same Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. O Dilma, Hachi Kamar. Or maybe the way to read the pasuk is as follows. Udvir B'soch HaBayis Mipnima. Yeah, keep the word mipnima in the first phrase of the pasuk. Udvir b'soch habayis mipnima. He made a wall between the Eichel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that wall was Heichel Nesitin Shem Asaron Bris Hashem. That became a makom knisa to the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to put the Aron there. So you see that the mechitza itself has the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So you see that the Chacham weren't sure about that Amatraxin, and we now know what the suffix was really about. It was how to read a pasuk. It was how to punctuate a pasuk. Where do you put the comma in the pasuk? And that's going to determine for us whether the Amatraxin was part of the Kodesh or part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, we're not sure how to read a pasuk. We're not sure how to punctuate a pasuk. Umimis safkalei. Do we really have, is it possible that Yosef Yishotzel had such a suffix? V'atanya isi ben Yudah omer chamish mikros v'torah ein l'nachreya, that there are only five psukim in the Torah that we don't know how to read exactly. We're not sure how to be machriya, whether where to put the punctuation in these five, dafka in these five psukim in the Torah. So before we go any further, what do you mean that we don't know how to punctuate the pasuk? Don't we have trup? Isn't that what the trup does? It punctuates the psukim for us. So the Ritva writes that these five psukim are in lem hechra, meaning it's al pi amikraos. But if you look at the tamei amikra, then you could be machria, and you'll know exactly how to read it. Meaning ein achinami, you should use the trup as a guide to figure out how to punctuate these psukim. Now that we have pisuk taimim, we're able to be poshed the suffix alidei pisuk taimim. However, the Marsha, as well as the Beis Yosef in his Tshuvas Afkas Rochel, Simin Dalid, write that even with pisuk taimim, we can't be machriya, because we don't know that our pisuk taimim is correct. Meaning, yeah, we have a mesorah of the trup, but it could be that the mesorah is corrupted in certain points. And there are certain places, for example, where the Edut HaMizrach and the Bnei Maariv have a machlokas exactly how to read certain psukim. So it could be that these five psukim in the mechreya, meaning that we cannot trust that the trup is going to be machriya between them. The Rama writes in Or Chaim in Siman Lamed Beis that a sofer who writes a sefer Torah should leave a little bit of space between one pasuk and the next. Meaning it should be evident when you look in the Sefer Torah what the end of the pasuk is. So Magen Avraham says, yeah, but we're not such bekiyim in chalukas ha-psukim to know exactly where each pasuk ends, and therefore we don't make that revach, we don't make that space. He says, if you do make such a space between one word and the next, it's not going to pasul, even if it's not a self pasuk, so it wouldn't be the end of the world, but we cannot trust that we know for sure where the end of each pasuk is. And he brings a raya from the Kiba Apa Marguish, who Prasadam Mikrushar, Arur Apam Kiyaz, which the Gemara is going to identify as one of the five psukim, where we don't know if the word Arur is the end of the previous pasuk, and it's Kiba Apam Argu Ishu Britzon Mikrushar Arur, or it's the beginning of the following pasuk of Arur Apam Kiyaz. So you see that one of the five things that the Gemara is going to identify as we're not sure where to put the comma, it's not just not sure where to put the comma, we're not sure where to put the period. It's not only about the asnachta, it's about the self pasuk. We're not even sure where the end of the pasuk is. So in by the Temanim, apparently the minig is that they actually make a mark at the end, a little round mark at the end of each pasuk. You imagine how much easier it is to be a balkar. I guess if every person who gets an aliyah has to lane that whole aliyah, so they need some help. So they'll actually make a mark along those along the way. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yerodei Chel Gimel Sim Kuf Yud Zayin whether a sefer Torah like that is kosher or not, whether you're allowed to do that. So he says even though our meaning is like the Magen Avraham, and we do not we're not machriya that our mesorah can clarify anything, so we don't leave any extra spaces. But the Bnei Teiman, based on their own traditions, based on their own Rabbanim, assume that whenever we say Ein Lehem Hechra, like in the Pesukim that we identify, that's only as far as the Mesoras, but that's not a Din in Kriyas HaTorah. So Moshe thought that they must have a Mesorah that as far as Kriyas HaTorah, we are 100% sure, and therefore it's perfectly fine for them to mark it off based on their Mesorah. But we can't do it, because we have to follow our tradition like the Magen Avraham says. So anyway, so there are five psukim that are in the Mehechra. What are these five psukim? So the Gemara just rattles them off one after the other, but you got to look in the psukim to see what the suffix is. So the Gemara rattles them off. Se'es, Meshukadim, Machar, Arur, and Vakam. So what are these five psukim? So number one, Se'es. The pasuk when Hashem tells Cain after he killed Hevel, Haloim Tetiv, Se'es, from Lo Tetiv, Lepesachatas Rovets. So you could read it, Im Tetiv, then Se'es, then Hashem will give you forgiveness. Or you could read it, Se'es, Vim Lo Tetiv, meaning if you don't do the right thing, then you're going to have to bear the burden of your sin. You're going to be punished. Similarly, the pasuk Mishukadim in Shemos Perchafei, it describes the menorah. Ubimenorah arba gviyim Mishukadim kaftoreu frachah. So you could read Ubimenorah arba gviyim Mishukadim, that only the gviyim were Mishukadim, were Mitzuyar, and not the kaftoreu mufrachim. Or you could read it Mishukadim kaftoreu frachah. Third pasuk Machar, the pasuk by Melchamas Amalek, it says Vayom Rosh El Yeshua Bechar Lanu Anashim Tzei Lachim BaAmalek Machar Anochi Nitzav Al Rosh Agiva Mat. So you could read it with the beginning of the pasuk that Moshe said to Yeshua, go fight a war with Amalek, machar, tomorrow you fight the war, but today, anochi nitzav al rosh hagiva, and I'll be misval that we should be matzliach. Or you could read it that he's telling him, yotzei lachem, go right away to fight the war. Machar anochi nitzav al rosh hagiva. And when you're ready, a day into the war, that's when I'll be standing here and davening for you. But today you don't need my tefillah. Today you'll be matzliach without me. But it was a two-day war. So Tosa Rush raises the question. Okay, according to this tzad, it was a two-day war. It doesn't sound that way from the psukim. So he quotes the Shita Sariva that the Muhammad was really only the next day. Say the hilachim b'amalek machar. The safik is whether machar is nidrash liachrav as well. Meaning it's for sure nidrash lefanav. The Is Machar going on both parts? Is Machar going on the Tefillah and the Milchama? Or is it only going on the Milchama, but the Tefillah was that day? So anyway, so the fourth Pasuk is Arur. Pasuk when Yaakov is talking to Shimon and Levi, back to Sefer Bereishis. Ki ba'apa margu ishu b'tzona mikru shar. So you could read it that they cut off the legs of the shar of the Arur. Who is the Arur? Shechem ben Chamar. He was from Canaan. Canaan is Arur Canaan. So we would identify him as the Arur. Or you could read it with the rest of the pasuk. Arur apam kiaz. That what's the Arur? The Arur is the anger of Shimon and Levi. And then the final pasuk is Vikam. The pasuk describes the Omer Hashem Moshe. So you could read it with the beginning of the pasuk. Hashem's telling Moshe, that you should, you're going to lie with your fathers, and then afterwards you're going to get up again. Then that's an indication that he's going to have tchias amesim. You're going to go and be shochiv mavsecha, but don't worry, v'kam, you're going to have a tchias amesim. But while you're gone, Kal Yisrael is going to do avodah zarah. While you're not around anymore, Kal Yisrael is going to do avodah zarah. Or you could read the pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, "Inok shochiv mavosecha," and then v'kam ha'am hazeh v'zona achrei lohei necher haaretz. That while you're dead, v'kam the nation is going to get up, is going to rise up and do avodah zarah. So there are different ways to read each of these psukim. So the Tosfos raises the question: why doesn't he just mention these psukim in order? Like we're jumping back and forth. We start in Sefer Bereishis, then we go to Shemos, and then we stay in Sefer Shemos for the third pasuk, and then the fourth pasuk is back to Sefer Bereishis, and then the fifth pasuk is in Devarim. Why are we jumping around? Why not just say it in the right order? In fact, in the Medrash Tanchuma, it quotes the five psukim in the right order. So there's a Sefer Toras Menachem where he says that if it would have said them in the right order, then it would sound like it's that there's going to be a klala machar, meaning it would be motzi davar klala mipiv. Because what would the order be? Se'es Arur Machar Mishukadim Vikam. So we don't want to say Arur Machar, even though we don't mean that. It's Arur Kama Machar. Kama, right? But nevertheless, we don't want to say something. Your person's either the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, lo the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos, the Olam Al Yotzei Adam Davar Megunah Mipiv, that a person should never say something not nice. A person should always speak Belashon Nekiya. So we don't even want to say Arur Machar. So anyway, so V'tanya, we have a Braisa, Hu Yosef Ish Hotzel. This Yosef Ish Hotzel, who had this Shaila about how to punctuate the pasuk. What's the identity of this person? Hu Yosef Abavli. He's the same guy. He's Yosef Abavli. Hu Isi Ben Yehuda. Hu Isi Ben Kor Aryeh. Hu Isi Ben Gamliel. Hu Isi Ben Mahalalel. He had a whole bunch of nicknames. Uma Shemo, what was his real name? Isi Ben Akiva Shemo. His real name was Isi Ben Akiva. So Isi Ben Yehuda is Yosef Ish Hotzel, and he's only had a suffix about these five psukim, how exactly to punctuate them. So it's a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan that says that Yosef Ish Hotzel was not sure about how to read the pasuk that describes the Beis HaMikdash and the Amatraxin. Meaning that's how we started all this, right? We got into all this because we said the Chum couldn't be Machriya about the Amatraxim. What couldn't they be Machriya? What Kedusha it had? Did it have the Kedusha of the Hekel, the Kedusha of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So why were they Mesubuk about it? Because it's how to teach a Pasuk, how to read a Pasuk, how to punctuate a Pasuk. That was the Suffolk. So the Gemara is asking, but the same person who raised that Suffolk tells us that there are only five Pesukim that were Mesubuk about, and this isn't one of those five Pesukim. Says Murnabdoraisa Ika. There are only five Pesukim in Torah that were Mesubuk about. But in Nevi'im, there are more than five Pesukim that were Mesubuk about. And this is an example of a Pasuk in Navim from Sefer Melachim, right? Shlomo HaMelech describes the Beis HaMikdash. Says Murnabdoraisa Laka, and do we not have more than five in the Torah? Ve'ika Dabayir Rav Chista. What about the Pasuk that Rav Chista raised that he had a Shaila about where Vayishlach Hasnare Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olos? Kavasim, that they brought kavasim for olos, and then the pasuk says v'yiz b'chuz v'achim shlam nashem parim, that they brought kavasim the olos and parim for karmen shlamim. So the word olos should have an esnacht on it because it divides the two parts of the pasuk. Odilma idividi parim, or maybe both the olos and the shlam were parim, and we should have a yalu olos parim, that's connected to the parim that it says in the hemshach of the pasuk, and you should read the entire pasuk as one without an esnachta. Vayalu olos yizbuk zvachim shalom Hashem parim. Not that they brought olos. Period. What were those olos? They were kvasim. Oh, and also they brought parim. No, they brought olos and shlamim, and it was all parim. And there is no esnachta on the word olos. It's something that's some other trap that will be mechaber them, that will attach the two parts of the pasuk, not separate them. So the Rav Chisim Sabka at least ben Yudah. You're right. There are other people that have sekos about other pesukim in the Torah, but Isi ben Yehuda said that there are only five. Isi ben Yehuda said that the only the five that we identified with the first five words on this amud are the ones that were mesupik about. But in a chidami, it could be that other amurayim, like Rav Chista, weren't sure about other pesukim in the Torah. Okay, new Mishnah now. So the Mishnah again describing the Kohen Gadol's path as he's carrying the shovel in his right hand, the kaf with the ketores in his left hand. He's walking in. We already had three sheets. Exactly what path through the Heichal he took. So Chitzonei is a proof of Minadarum. The outer curtain, if there was a double curtain, the outer curtain was open on the southern side, and it was held open. There was a ring to hold it open, to keep it open so that he could walk in. Pnimis Minat Safav. And the inner curtain on the northern side was held open, and Mahalich Benein, and the Kohen Gadol would walk in between them. So Ad Shemagiel at Safav, until he got to the northern side, Higiel at Safav. Once he got to the northern side, the entranceway to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Hofich Panav Ladarum, he would turn toward the south to walk toward the Aron, Mahalich Lismolo Ima Paroches, and he would walk to his left, next to the Paroches now on his left, because he turned his body, Ad Shumagiel Aron, until he got to the Makom of the Aron itself. Higiel Aron, once he got to the place of the Aron, Noseh Nesamachta Ben Shnei Abadim, he put down the shovel with the coals in between the Badei Aron, in between the two poles of the Aron, Vitzavar Es HaKetores Al Gabi Gechalim, and then he piled up the ketores on top of the coals, Nismali Kalabayis Kulo Ashen, the whole Beis HaMikdash filled with smoke, and then, only then, Yatsu Bala B'derech Beis Kenisaso. Then he went back out the same way he came in. And he would say a short tefillah in the Heichal outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Since there was no one standing in the Heichal the whole time, so they didn't know where he was yet. So he couldn't be Marach B'tefillah because everyone would be nervous, especially during Tekubas Bayasheni when most Kohanim Gedolim didn't make it out. So they didn't want to make anybody nervous. They didn't want him to start yanking on the string that was attached to his ankle and start pulling him out, thinking that he's dead. So he would have to make sure that it's a tefillah ktsar. It's not an appropriate time. That's the pasuk. Kel na refan Allah. Right? So we just said Rashi. Rashi said, why did Moshe Rabbeinu offer a more significant tefillah? Because when someone's suffering and he's got to go help, he can't be marach b'tefillah. Now's the time to help. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, kel na refan Allah. Five word tefillah. So here also, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, the whole Klal Yisrael is nervous. Everybody's worried. I just got a shayla a little while ago. I mentioned in Shul, there was a chayal who sent me a shayla that said that he got back from his army base, he got off the bus, he's in full uniform, he's got his gun with him, and he's like late to Mincha. So he can run and catch Mincha, and he started running to catch Mincha. And his friend said, don't run. You're wearing full uniform and a gun. Everyone's going to see you running. They're going to think something's terribly wrong. It's going to make everybody nervous. So he said, should I or shouldn't I? I could be on time for Mincha. I could be late to Mincha. So the answer is, there's a time to daven and there's a time not to make everybody nervous. You can't make everybody think that you're running to some lo aleinu. So you have to be cognizant of the other people. And that's what the Kohen Gadol was over here. He was careful not to daven too long because it's going to make everybody else nervous. Now it happens to be, we said over here that he waited till the bayis was filled kulo ashan, and then he went out. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippur in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph says that's a halacha. I mean, it's not just that he could dump off the ketores on the gacheles and then leave. He has to wait. He has to wait till the bayis fills with smoke. So the Achronim point out that the makor of the Rambam is the psukim. The psukim say v'nosnas ketores aleish l'fnei Hashem v'chisa anana ketores es hakapores asher aleidos v'lo yamos. And then v'lakach midam apar. It only describes what he does next after it describes that the whole place fills with smoke. So the Briska Rav explains because all the avodos, this was unlike the ketores the rest of the year. The ketores the rest of the year, he doesn't have to wait for anything to happen. He makes the ketores, he does the maisa, and then he leaves. And the Briska Rav explains that you always have to wait till the gemar ha'avoda. The ketores throughout the rest of the year, the gemar ha'avoda is as soon as you spread the ketores on the mizbeach. But in Yom Kippurim, the avoda is not finished until yismalei abayis. Until it's filled with smoke from the ketores. The Briska Rav quotes from Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan of Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, that we learned that from the Pasuk, that in Yom HaKippurim, the Avodas HaKetores continues until the bias is Nismalei Ashan, and that's why he has to wait there that entire time. So then the Mishnah said he would say this short tefillah when he finally went out and that was that. So the fact that why didn't he say the tefillah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So the Tiferes Yisrael explains on the Mishnayos because that's a makom ruchnius, and the tefillah is for dvarim gashmiim. So you're not going to say a tefillah for gashmiis in a makom of such elevated ruchnius. However, in the Chazon Yecheskel he says there's no isra of tefillah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You'll have a daven for things in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It could be he didn't do it because we always try to minimize the time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We don't want him to be mistakel in the walls of the Kodesh HaKadosh and be nana from the walls of the Kodesh HaKadosh, and maybe that's why he didn't do it. So anyway, says Gemara, b'mayis kinan, which base of mikdash are we talking about over here? Ilim mikdash rishon, if we're talking about the first base of mikdash, miyavu parochas, was there parochas? Were there curtains that separated in the bayis rishon? Elim mikdash sheni, must be it's the mikdash sheni. Well, miyavu aron, was there an aron in mikdash sheni? V'atanya, don't we have a brayis that tells us, mishin nignas aron nignas imot sen senes aman tzlach Hashem in amishcha, umakalo shalaron shketeh afrecheha, v'argas shagul plish Israel, that when the Aron was put away in the Tekufa of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, at the end of the Tekufa, the Bayis Rishon, there were a whole bunch of other things that were hidden away with it. The Tzantzenes Haman, and the plate of Shemin HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, and the Aron staff, and the Shkedim, and the Prakim that grew from it, and the box that the Plishtim sent as a gift to Klal Yisrael. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, so wherever the Aron was, the Argos was with it. So Melu was Nignas with it. When the Aron was Nignas, the Argos, the box that the Plishtim sent, was also Nignas. Umi Gnazo, and who's the one that put it away? Yoshia Gnazo. The Achron point out Gnazo is Belashon Yachid, even though we just described the whole list of things that they were gones, because it was about the Aron. Then everything else just went along with the Aron. So we describe Belashon Yachid because that's the Iker. Umar Rosh Gnazo. Why did Yoshio HaMelech hide the Aron? So Rosh Akasov, he saw that among the curses in the Tochacha, it says Yelech Hashem Eschaves Malcha Asher Tokim Alecha. So he saw that there's going to be a time of Golos, and he was worried that the Aron is going to end up in Bavel. So Amad Gnazo, he hid it away. Shenamar Ve'amar Leviim Amavinim L'Chol Yisrael Agdoshim LaHashem Tenuas Aron Hakadosh B'Bayis Hashem Banu Shlomo Ben Dav Melch Yisrael Ein Lechem Masa B'Kasei V'Ata Ivdu Es Hashem Elokeichem Ves Amu Yisrael. So when he says that you should put the Aron in the base of Mikdash, he was already there. So he meant, no, hide the Aron in the base of Mikdash in a place that Shlomo Melch had already built for it to be hid. Va'amar Blazer As Yoshama Shama. It says by the Aron the word Shama, and by the Tzen Senes Haman it says Shama. Shama. So that's how we know that Tzantzenes Haman was put away. Va'asid Doros Doros. It says the word Doros Seichem by the Tzantzenes Haman, and by the Shemin HaMishcha it also says the Doros Seichem. So that's how we know the Shemin HaMishcha was put away. Va'asid Mishmeres Mishmeres. By the Tzantzenes Haman it says L'mishmeres L'Doros Seichem, and the Makalo Shalara it also says that it's L'mishmeres L'Eidus B'nei Mary. So you see that it's that was also put away. So Yoshio HaMelech put all of these things away. So if the Aron was not there in Tekufas Vayesheni because it was still hidden, Rav Shaklo points out in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi that he did it not just because he didn't want it to go into Bavel, because he knew there couldn't be a Vayesheni unless the Aron was on premises. If the Aron was stuck in Bavel, they wouldn't have Kedushas Vayesheni, because the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash emanates from the Aron. And that's why in the Beis HaKnesses as well, you need to have an Aron Kodesh, not just a room with tables and chairs where you can bring a Sefer Torah in. An Aron Kodesh is the basis of the Kedushas HaMikdash, and it's the basis of Kedusha of a Mikdash Ma'at. But bottom line is, the Gemara is asking a question, which Beis HaMikdash is the Mishnah describing? There was no Parochas in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no Aron in the second Beis HaMikdash. So the other Mikdash Sheni, we're describing the second Beis HaMikdash. Ma'i Higia L'Aron, Makom Aron. When we say he got to the Aron, he means the place where the Aron used to be. V'aktani Nasan Esamachta L'Bein Shnei Abadim. But doesn't it say that he puts down the shovel in between the two poles? Sounds like there's an Aron there with poles. Ema Kibein Shnei Abadim. He imagines where the poles would have been, and that's where he puts down the shovel. But we're describing by Yesheni where there was no actual Aron there. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. Oh, yeah.